They are teeing it up this week. Pinehurst number two. The U.S. Open, second to last major of the season. Always compelling. Our guest is our go-to golf guy for years now. Employee one of the Believe Network. You can check it out on Twitter. Use at Believe Network for our guest. It's at Cam Rogers Live. Cam, always great having you back. How's life treating you in the East?
Hey there, Steve. Great to be with you. I can't believe I've been a regular on this show for years now, and it's always a pleasure. Excited for what I think is going to be some serious carnage out there at Pinehurst number two. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. Before we get into the Open, I love thinking of carnage in golf. You're a Baltimore guy. I'm a New York diehard. It's really been a while since they were both contenders, a little bit in 2014, but you really got to go back to 96 and 7. Of course, the Birds won 101 last year. Folks out here might be loving Adley Rutschman, but, man, what about the new stud, Gunnar Henderson, and how you're liking this 2024 team so far?
Yeah, you're right. Got to go back to 2014 for the last time the Yankees and Orioles were duking it out, and I've been just so impressed with Adley Rutschman right now, batting over 300. You've got Gunnar Henderson, a power-hitting shortstop, kind of reminding me of Miguel Tejada of the old days, 21 home runs so far this year for Gunnar. And then, again, it's just going back to the starting pitching, which I honestly have not seen in this millennium from the Baltimore Orioles. Corbin Burnes has been absolutely sensational. His ERA is fantastic right now. Cole Irvin is playing great right now as well, 6-2 so far on the year. So something tells me that the Orioles and the Yankees are going to be duking it out here through the dog days of summer, and would not be too surprised, Steve, to see them both in the ALCS here this season.
And by the way, Cole Irvin, a former Duck. And by the way, a week from tonight, 3 in the Bronx, so get ready. But back to the Open, this track, Pinehurst, probably most famous for Payne Stewart's winning putt in 99 to beat Mickelson. And historically, par has been a great score, though 10 years ago, Marty Keimer went 9-under. I think I was reading, though, they did a bit of a course alteration. Cam, you hinted back in your part of the country, how sharp could we expect number two's teeth this week?
Yeah, pretty darn sharp here, Steve. I think we're going to see some seriously high scores, particularly because, you know, it's interesting, the last few majors that we've experienced, there's been a lot of moisture, a lot of rain going into the week, and that obviously creates soft conditions, and guys can fire at flagsticks at will and not be too concerned about runoff. But what you have here at Pinehurst number two is what we'd like to call these turtleback greens that repel these approach shots and chips along the perimeter. So the greens, you know, by square footage, aren't that small. We're not talking about, say, Pebble Beach, but in reality, they kind of are, because if you hit the green on the edges, that ball is rolling off guaranteed. You have to get that ball up so darn high and then place it in the perfect position just to actually hit a green in regulation. So, you know, I think that's going to be the main difficulty here this week at Pinehurst number two, which, by the way, is going to be an ultra long par 70, just a little under 7,600 yards, which is ridiculous. Eight par fours measure beyond 450 yards, Steve. Three stretch beyond 500. So we're talking about a serious test here. It's not your typical U.S. Open like Wingfoot or Torrey Pines where you have this thick, luscious rough. You know, this week we're going to have this patchy, thick stuff that's called wire grass hazards, which create a lot of unpredictability when you miss the fairways here. So put that all together, Steve. I'm thinking probably a winning score of over par, to be honest with you.
It sounds intimidating. I'm already aggravated. Talking U.S. Open with Cam Rogers, Believe Network. When I think of dominating, you know, we get to Tiger 2000, 2001, and now we see what Scottie Scheffler is doing. Last eight times he's teed it up, he's won five, second and two. The only time out of the top five was the PGA when he got arrested. I know he's a heavy chalk. How do you see his week going on this track?
Well, here is a great comparison with what we're seeing from Scottie Scheffler right now. His current year bounce back percentage, which is when you get a birdie after a bogey, is the highest ever recorded on tour at 36.7%. Tiger back in 2000 was 36.5. So there is some context for you about the sheer dominance that we are seeing from Scottie Scheffler, but also something to point out, Steve. We've seen runs of dominance before from Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, and what happened after their years of dominance? They kind of fell back to earth a little bit. I don't presume that's going to happen here this week for Scottie, but it could happen next year, especially now that he is a father, got other priorities out there in life. But truly, the ball striking has been immaculate. He won the Memorial last week. You mentioned his hiccup at the PGA, quote-unquote hiccup. He finished top 10. But, of course, that arrest probably was in his mind a little bit. I think he's in for a fine week. This course should really fit him well. It actually creates an ability for him to be more of an artist than a robotic ball striker, if you will. You got to really think your way around this golf course, create some shots, and that's something that he can really do. He's more of a field player than anything else, so I think this is going to be a good setup for him. The problem is, in the betting market, if you're trying to make some money off Scottie Scheffler, I just think the value is absolutely gone. If you think he's going to win, maybe place a small wager on him. Otherwise, you know, just sit and watch the sheer dominance that we are seeing from him right now. But one man, Xander Schauffele, is probably the closest to Scottie at this juncture so far this year, and he's playing some pretty darn good golf coming off that major win.
Yeah, I think his odds are 2.5 to 1, 5 to 2, 11 to 4, which is crazy.
Right,
we literally haven't seen that since Tiger. You mentioned Schauffele, of course. That's a hell of a trio out there with those two and Rory, and of course now for Xander, he doesn't ever have to worry about that best not to win a major, the clutch birdie on the 72nd hole to win the PGA. He was 8th at Augusta, 2nd at the Players. He's been playing just great, and he's really been good in the Opens. He played in 7 of them, 6 top 10s. What's your read on Schauffele this week?
Well, you know, it's actually a lot better than what I thought it was going to be, especially coming off a pretty solid performance at the Memorial Tournament. You know, when you have a guy who has been so close so many times and finally wins a major championship, you would probably understand he's going to fall back a little bit, come back down to earth, maybe celebrate it a little too hard, do too many tequila sodas, if you will. But he played great at the Memorial. So that tells me, Steve, that he's sort of going to keep on keeping on. He hasn't finished outside the top 20 in a major since the Masters back in 2022. So we're talking about a guy who has been ultra consistent on the big stage. And I think a big reason why is because he is one of the best in terms of bogey avoidance. Bogey avoidance is one key stat that I look at every single year at the U.S. Open, and certainly here this week. So I would expect Xander Schauffele to be a part of the conversation yet again.
And I mentioned Rory, and, you know, it's been a decade drought since he last won a major, PGA in 2014. But he has had 5 straight top 10s at this event. He was just 4th in Canada, 15th last week. He's playing pretty well. What kind of shot you give McIlroy?
Yeah, runner-up last year at L.A. Country Club. You know, we got to do this Rory McIlroy thing every single time at a major, of course, but here we are still waiting for him to win yet another one. We've got to go back to 10 years, like you mentioned, 2014, for the last time he's actually gotten it done. But, you know, he actually had, bizarrely, this weird stretch of 3 straight missed cuts at the U.S. Open. I think it took him some time to sort of re-understand playing well at these types of golf courses, and now we're seeing him play pretty well historically over the last few years. So I give him a good shot here this week. The one concern with me with Rory is his short game. How will he be able to chip around this golf course? You're going to be playing around these greens a lot. I expect a lot of guys to miss a lot of greens in regulation. So can he channel that creativity that maybe, say, a Cam Smith has, or a Justin Thomas has, or Hideki Matsuyama has around these greens with your wedges? It's something to really monitor with Rory. If he gets off to a fast start, though, this week, he'll be a part of the conversation all the way through Sunday for sure.
Few final thoughts, Cam Rogers. The Believe Network, I got to ask you about the Cal Bear, Colin Morikawa. Couple of top fives at the Open the last 3 years. This year, third at Augusta, fourth at Valhalla. Obviously, he plays slams tough. And he played great last week. He's won the PGA. He's won the British. What kind of shot you think he has of getting the 75% there?
Yeah, he was really close to being my pick to win here this week, Steve. Number four in Data Golf rankings as well, which we are starting to use more of because it incorporates live golf data. But Colin Morikawa is built for hard, difficult golf courses. The good news for him, too, he's not the longest hitter on the PGA Tour, but when you have these hard fairways, you get extra runoff, so that really helps him. So for Colin this week, you know, he comes in with a really improved short game, and that's why I am on him for a top 10 for sure here at Pinehurst number two, because if he happens to miss some greens from time to time, and again, the ball striking is great, he can lean on that short game that is vastly improved as compared to years past. Best finish at the U.S. Open was fourth back in 2021. He's a guy to certainly keep in mind here this week. Super steady player, built for U.S. Opens, in my opinion. I certainly give him a shot to get that third leg here this week.
Let's hit Bryson DeChambeau at the PGA. He's the guy who applied the pressure to Schauffele. He birdied 18 to make Xander birdie 18. He's a live guy, but he's played the majors great this year. Six at Augusta, second at the PGA. He won this event at Wingfoot. Kind of an intriguing case, I think. How legit of a shot you give him?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Bryson DeChambeau has completely, yet again, changed his game, and you're seeing the proof in the pudding here with his major championship performance so far this year. You know, of course, he won the U.S. Open at Wingfoot back in 2020. That was a very different golf course, as I explained. You're dealing with a lot different conditions here this week, Steve, where essentially you can't have this bomb and gouge mentality, because if you're into these patchy wiregrass situations, you have no idea what the lie is going to be. At the very least at Wingfoot, you knew what was going to happen. You're either going to be in the fairway or you're going to be in the rough. You have no idea what's happening on the outskirts of this golf course. So Bryson's going to have to be a little bit more tactical with his approach around this course. And I think, you know, in his new age of Bryson, he can do that. The short game has been immaculate. You know, he's been so darn consistent so far at the majors here this year. He's not my pick to win. I think he's a fine bet for a top 20, something along those lines here this week. You know, I find it interesting that you sort of have to think your way around this golf course. Does Bryson have that creativity in his bag? I think you can say yes today, more so than in years past, but I still think it's going to be a tough test for him.
And finally, I've mentioned a lot of the big guns, still many threats out there. So in 1895, the Brit Horace Rawlins was the first winner of the U.S. Open. Cam Rogers, who do you have as the next winner of the U.S. Open?
Next winner on the list is one Victor Hovland, and I feel like this course should suit him better than the traditional U.S. courses that we see out there in the U.S. Opens. Many of his wins come on resort-style courses that are similar here to Pinehurst, Steve. He's a premier driver of the golf ball. He's actually been better than Scheffler the last two events off the tee. He's gaining multiple strokes on approach consistently. Again, he switched back to his old swing coach, and that's proving great. Six top 20s in his last seven major starts, three top 20s at the U.S. Open. And I think his short game issues can be mitigated a little bit here with plenty of areas to use the old Texas wedge or putt off the screen, use some creativity in that respect and not the typical lob wedge and all of that. So I think it's his time, Steve, to finally get it done. Victor Hovland, not really being talked about, but he fits a lot of trends for me. I think he gets it done.
He is the only Norwegian to win the U.S. Amateur. He's a hell of a player. Folks, he's Cam Rogers, generous enough with his time to come on the show, share some awesome info about the majors, keep up with all the terrific shows on Believe at Believe Network. For our guest, always a returning champ, at Cam Rogers Live. Cam, always a lot of fun. Much appreciation. Be well. And, of course, you and I will talk again soon.
Hey, Steve, appreciate it. Yeah, let's talk again for Royal Liverpool at the Open.
I'm ready. Have a good one, Cam. Thanks a lot, buddy. Take care. Bye.